Well, congregation, please open the scriptures to the book of Judges, Judges chapter 13. We look at the responsibility of parents in the sermon this Lord's Day with regard to raising up a seed as unto the Lord, and that responsibility rests upon those who confess Jesus as Savior and Lord of their life. We live in perilous times, times in which the Scriptures and its teaching is being abandoned not only by our institutions, but as the false church begins to raise her ugly head and to tear down the truth of the gospel as well. And how much more then should we be committed here in this church to raising our children in the truths of the Holy Scripture? And to defend those truths with courage and with perseverance. Judges chapter 13, we'll be reading verses 1 through 13. Here is the reading of God's word from the book of Judges, chapter 13, starting with verse 1. Again, the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. And the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistines for 40 years. Now there was a certain man from Zorah, the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and had no children. And the angel of the Lord appeared to the woman and said to her, "Indeed, now you are barren and have borne no children. But you shall conceive and bear a son. Now therefore, please be careful not to drink wine or similar drink, and not to eat anything unclean. For behold, you shall conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come upon his head. For the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb. And he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines." So the woman came and told her husband, saying, "A man of God came to me, and his countenance was like the countenance of the angel of God, very awesome. But I did not ask him where he was from, and he did not tell me his name. And he said to me, 'Behold, you shall conceive and bear a son. Now drink no wine or similar drink, nor eat anything unclean, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb to the day of his death.' Then Manoah prayed to the Lord and said, 'O my Lord, please do not let the man of God whom you sent come to us again and teach us what we shall do for the child who will be born.' And God listened to the voice of Manoah. And the angel of God came to the woman again as she was sitting in the field. But Manoah, her husband, was not with her. Then the woman ran in haste and told her husband and said to him, 'Look, the man who came to me the other day has just now appeared to me.' So Manoah arose and followed his wife. When he came to the man, he said to him, 'Are you the man who spoke to this woman?' And he said, 'I am.' Manoah said, 'Now let your words come to pass. What will be the boy's rule of life and his work?' So the angel of the Lord said to Manoah, 'Of all that I said to the woman, let her be careful. She may not eat anything that comes from the vine, nor may she drink wine or similar drink, nor eat anything unclean. All that I command her, let her observe.'" Well, may God bless the reading of His Word to our hearts. Well, congregation, for various reasons, the word covenant or federal is a misunderstood term today. The word federal is a critical term, not only in our culture, because our government is called a federal government, that is, a covenanted government, but also it has great use both theologically and biblically as well. In the Scriptures, this covenant relationship between God and man exists and is real. The covenant bridges the gap between a holy God and a sinful man. A covenant relationship with God means that in Christ, every believer is in covenant or friendship with God. See, naturally, our biggest enemy is not Satan, but God Himself. Because we have transgressed the law of God, we are sinners, we have fallen short of the glory of God, we have stolen the glory of God, placed it upon ourselves, and God will wreak judgment upon us for that. But covenant friendship is achieved through the work of our Lord Jesus Christ. God becomes our friend. Remember John's Gospel that Jesus had said in chapter 15, that I no longer call you slaves, but a friend. A friend. And other portions of Scripture as well. On account of Christ, God now is our Heavenly Father, who adopts us in Christ by His grace to receive all the benefits of adoption from justification to glory. As Christians, we should set ourselves to the covenant home, which is so essential to our covenant relationship and friendship with God. This relationship, this covenantal relationship that we have with God as our friend, is reflected in the covenant home. That's why there's so much emphasis upon the covenant home and what it means and what it doesn't mean. The responsibilities of the parents, which is our subject today, but also the responsibilities of those grown up within a covenant home. There are special privileges that come with the covenant home and special blessings, but there's also special judgments and curses that fall upon that covenant home as well. While the primary responsibility falls upon the parents to raise their children in the Lord, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4, it is secondarily the responsibility of the church to provide teaching of the responsibilities and obligations set upon the covenant home. Our subject today addresses this issue with regard to the parents and their responsibility in fostering a covenant home. Our subject is taken from the words of verse 12, where we are reminded here of those words that Manoah had said, "Now let your words come to pass. What will be the boy's rule of life and his work?" The rule of life is the standard of life. What will be the boy's rule of life and in his work? In this question, with the obligation as covenant parents, they are prayerfully asking God, by what standard shall we raise our children, our child? How does that work? What does it look like? This is an important question for us today as well, as we seek to raise or nurture our covenant children. The question is not whether or not our children will grow up having a standard. They will have a standard. The question is, what standard? The public schools are readily available. Every teacher, principal, counselor is readily available to give your children, our children, God's children in the church, a standard. A wicked one indeed. But they'll give them a standard. The drug pusher that goes down the street, he wants to give your children a standard. The pornography industry, they want to give your children a standard. And so the question is, what standard? Manoah's question is our question. And by way of application, we want to answer the question, By what standard are you raising your children? Because you're giving them a standard. You're giving them a standard, husbands, by the way you treat your wife. So, husband, if you treat your wife like garbage, your children will treat their mother like garbage. We said this before so many times in so many different ways. Your children will know how much you love them by the way the parents treat themselves, treat each other. When a husband treats a wife terribly, you're teaching your children to act like that. You want the streets to teach your children what standard? And so we ask the question, what standard are you raising your children? What are some of the parental responsibilities? Lord willing, we want to answer this question in 3 points. First, the divine standard. Second, the eternal standard. And then third, the Christ standard. First, it is our divine calling to willingly and eagerly be covenant parents. Willingly and eagerly. This must be our standard. If we are to be parents, we must receive God's gift of covenant children, no matter the time or the circumstances. I don't care whether Trump's the president or Biden's the president. It makes no difference. The church is to raise up a seed to the Lord God. This is what is meant by the words in verse 12. Now let your words come to pass, or better, when your words come true. In other words, even in the midst of a physically burdensome time, and in the midst of national apostasy, Manoah and his wife were eager to take on the responsibilities of a covenant home. Remember from verse 1 that for 40 years God disciplined Israel by means of the Philistines. If you think Biden is bad, you ain't seen nothing. Yet in the midst of unfaithfulness and idolatry, Manoah and his wife took on their divine calling seriously to have children. It was their divine calling, according to the Abrahamic covenant, to raise up a generation as the stars of heaven and like the sands of grain upon the seashore. And this has great application for us today. As God's people, parents have a divine calling to order or regulate their lives of their children according to the principles established by the Word of God, as we're told in Deuteronomy 6 and Ephesians 6. Furthermore, from the text, we also learn the necessity of fulfilling our calling, even in bad or spiritually unhealthy times. I don't know how many times I've heard Christians say, I would never bring children into this world. There's no way. Do you know how wicked this generation is? That's unbiblical. Just as there was the days in Manoah, there is today an ongoing spiritual famine in culture and in many visible churches. Yet in the midst of such a time, our attitude should be like Manoah, which was to desire, receive covenant children as a precious gift from God. It is then necessary that we pray that God would bless our marriages and that our children would be raised in a covenantal home. As a church, we need to foster and to be very mindful to the concerns of our families, especially our covenant young people. Today, our covenant families have great struggles because of the evil culture in which our children grow up in. And have abandoned true Christian principles. Some churches have abandoned catechism teaching and preaching. They've abandoned the catechism class. They've even abandoned it in some theological seminaries. I was out the other day with a Presbyterian minister, and he told me that in his Presbyterian seminary, they didn't even go over the Westminster Confession of Faith. Can you imagine that? At a Presbyterian seminary, the standards of the Presbyterian Church weren't even taught. Sad, isn't it? And then you wonder why ministers that graduate from these seminaries don't preach on the catechism, won't touch the thing, won't touch the great doctrines of the faith as they apply to the heart of our young people and our parents. Why are so many children, why are so many young people, they see church as an appendage to their life rather than the very essence of their life that defines them? Technology, with all of the modern gadgets, is leaving little room for quiet meditation upon the Word of God. And most tragic, the de-emphasis on a time for covenant worship at the home. You see, you will not have a lively covenant home if you do not have a lively covenant worship at home. And you see, Rachel, you've got an extra burden on you. Because you don't have the leadership that you should have. And Rachel, it's you that have to take up that leadership at home. And prepare your children now, today. Congregation Biblical Prophecy states quite clearly in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, 3, and 4 that in the latter days there shall be a falling away from the necessity and seriousness of the covenant home as described in 2 Timothy verses 3, 1 through 5. If you think culture is wicked now, you haven't seen anything yet. When children will rebel against their parents, we have seeds and it's growing. God says, don't allow your children to do that. Teach them. Like Manoah, let us take our divine calling to raise up a godly seed seriously, with great passion, so that the kingdom of God extends from one generation to another. Secondly, the standard or rule by which we are to raise our covenant children is the Word of God by consecration to God. With the divine calling sealed in the heart, there is still a greater concern practically in the part of Manoah and his wife. This deep-rooted concern is what shall be the manner of life, the rule, the standard that is required to raise the child. You have a divine calling. Okay, then what's the standard of that dictates for that divine calling? Manoah's emotional concern is not whether or not it is his responsibility to manage his child, for this is presumed in the question. His concern is how or by what standard is one to manage and teach his children. The angel of the Lord in verse 3 directs Manoah and his wife to the Nazarite vow, which is further explained in verses 13 through 14, with a particular emphasis on consecration, or being separate from the world to the Lord. From this we learn two critical points about the nature of the covenant home. First, covenant parents must be prayerfully teachable. Notice that Manoah's question is a prayerful request for guidance from the Lord. Notice the words in verse 8. Then Manoah prayed to the Lord and said, O my Lord, please let the man of God whom you've sent come to us again and teach us what we shall do for the child who will be born. Prayer is of the essence of the whole. Life can get hectic, but there's always time for prayer. Maybe you can't do the catechism requirements this night or this week. Maybe you can't read Scripture. Maybe because just of providence, something has come in and has torn you away from your responsibilities. You can at least pray with your children and teach them how to pray. Manoah has no presumption that he knows everything, but is in great need for instruction. This is the heart of a covenant parent, to rely upon God for the ability to raise their children. This is the heart of true covenant parents, that they learn to bathe all things in prayer and to remain teachable in the ways of the Lord by means of the Word of God. I don't know everything. It's scary to be a parent. It really is. There's so many responsibilities, so many cares, so many things that enter in to being a parent. You think of your own sin. You think of your own inadequacies. When your children look up to you and they see you, we are to be prayerfully teachable. What does the Bible say? Teach me, O Lord. Teach me to have a home that's prayerfully open to the commands and the teachings and the examples of Holy Scripture. Don't look to the world. Don't look to a surrogate. Oh, there's surrogates all over the place. Again, public schools, they'll be your surrogate. Yeah, they'll take it, no problem. Those teachers love it. The pornography industry loves it. They'll corrupt your children. You see, this is the true heart of a covenant parent, that they learn to bathe all things in prayer and remain teachable in the ways of the Lord by means of the Word of God. It's an exceptional virtue when people say, why do you do what you do? Because it's the Word of God that teaches us. Secondly, covenant parents are to teach the law of God. The Lord God gives His law to us so that we can teach our children, so that we can manage their lives correctly, righteously, and justly. The law of God answers the question, how can we direct the ways of our children's hearts and actions? Note that the Nazirite vow is mentioned in the text, which was a vow of consecration or dedication or separation from the world to the Lord God. That's what we've just done to Charlotte. From birth to death, verse 7, Manoah was informed that this child was to be separated to the Lord for the preparation of divine service. Have you ever said that to your children? Now, don't you do that. Why? It's a violation of the Word of God. And you've been consecrated to the Lord God. Boy, can you imagine going to a public school teacher and telling that? See, my son's been consecrated to the Lord. And this garbage that you want to teach them is not going to fold. It's not going to penetrate my son's heart, because I'm here as the teacher of my son. And I'm not going to allow this stuff to be given to my son or to my daughter. The Nazirite vow meant that the child was to be consecrated and separated to the Lord in preparation of divine service. The Nazarite vow was above all things an outward demonstration of separation from the world and consecration of the Lord God by means of the law of God. Covenant parents must order, rule, or manage their home, especially their children, by means of the law of God. The law of God is not just something pinned on the wall. It's not just something in Exodus chapter 20 or Deuteronomy. It's not just something there, but in the hearts of the people of God, written there by the Holy Spirit. The law of God, the Ten Commandments, are the standard for the life of faith and holiness. As the psalmist said, "Upon your law I meditate day and night." When questions arise in the home as to what standard the home is to be governed, we must point ourselves and our children to the law of God for the standards of devotion and holiness, principally found in love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. So when our children come home and ask that big question, boy, I tell you, their eyes are just as big as all get out. They ask you that question, why do others do this and that, but we cannot? We must point them to their consecration or separation to the Lord God. Without such holy rule in civil society, chaos is the result. Without such holy rule in the home, there will be disorder and dysfunction. When the world is wandering about in its confusion, they don't even know how to define marriage anymore. They don't know what a male and female is anymore. They don't know any of those things. They're filled with disorder and dysfunction. When the world is wandering about in confusion, then the covenant home is then a refuge to claim the words of the psalmist, "How I love your law, O Lord." See, the covenant home is a refuge. The covenant home loves the truth, seeks the truth, and rests in the truth. Forget about what the world's going to do. The sewer of this world disregards truth. Remember those immortal words of our Lord in John 8, verses 31 through 32. Then Jesus said to the Jews who believed in Him, to those who believed in Him, you see the particular message, to those who believe, "If you abide in My word, you are My disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." That's given to the believer. And oh, how politicians love that phrase in the Bible, don't they? "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Of course, they divorce it from Christ, who is the truth, manifested, incarnate. They deny the truth of the gospel and the power of the gospel to change lives. So then, congregation, we reject outright the world's philosophy to let our children formulate their own standards. We condemn the attitude to let them learn on or lean on or by their own standard. The Lord God has directed all believing parents to teach and model the law of God as it points to the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you have a mixed marriage, and the wife's got to pick it up a little bit and tell that husband, "You better watch yourself in blaspheming the Lord God in this home." Blasphemy is not to be taken as a joke, but seriously. The law of God is our standard of truth. Lastly, a covenant home is a home that has our Lord Jesus Christ as its first love and glory of God. We notice that throughout the text, we find Manoah and his wife seek the guidance of the angel of the Lord. This is the pre-incarnate second person of the Trinity, the Lord Jesus Christ. Throughout Scripture, the title the angel of the Lord points to the work of the second person of the Trinity, Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, note the words in verse 18. And the angel of the Lord said to them, "Why do you ask my name, seeing it is wonderful?" This again describes not only the work of the angel, but of his divine character. Jesus is the wonderful counselor, as Isaiah had said in his book, and looking forward to Christ coming, the Messiah, is to be the great I Am, manifested, incarnate. The words translated in verse 18 as wonderful points then to our Lord Jesus, who is called Wonderful Counselor in Isaiah 9, verse 5. Again, in verse 22, Manoah and his wife recognized that they stood in the very presence of the Lord God, who is the pre-incarnate second person of the Trinity. You see, while we order our children's lives according to the law, yet the law does not justify and cannot save. Only Jesus in the gospel effectually brings us grace and truth. Only Jesus consecrates us for divine service by His grace and for His glory. Only the Spirit and the Word can bring us to Christ's redeeming love in true regeneration and truly experience conversion of the soul. You see, our call as parents is to point our children to rest in Christ by faith alone, not in the law of obedience. Your child should never grow up saying that my parents love me because of what I do. You see, I go to church. I go to church whenever the doors are open. You see, I live a holy life. See, look, this is what I do. And so what he understands Christ is, my relationship to Christ is by what I do. And that's not true. I don't care if you memorize the whole catechism. You need to believe in Jesus. You need to embrace Him. It's not about you coming to church. It's not about you doing this or that. It's about Him and what He did and what He does and continues to do. One of my biggest fears of my son and my daughter growing up was that they would see my love only in reflection to what they did. "Look, Dad, I got an A in that class." "Great, son. Do you love me, Dad, more because you got an A?" "No. I'm thankful you got an A. But I'm committed to you, son, because you're my son, whether you got a C or you got anything else." You see, we want Christ to be in the soul, and the rest will come. Our call as parents is to teach our children, to point them to rest in Christ by faith alone, and not the law of obedience. We emphasize the law of God, sure we do. But we need to hold these things in priority. And the priority is Christ. Just the angel of the Lord brought strength to endure the fight against worldliness, so does Christ's Spirit give us the ability to strive in obedience. You see, young people, your parents have been entrusted with a divine calling to raise you up in the fear of the Lord, to make you fit for divine service of the great King of Kings and Lord of Lords in thanksgiving. Your parents have been entrusted with the divine calling of leading you to the risen, resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. parents by divine command are not only to regulate the outward life, but the inward life of faith, so that we would personally lay hold of Jesus Christ by faith. We want our children to grow up in a covenant home. That's not their ticket to heaven. Their ticket to heaven is not the law of God. Their ticket to heaven is the Lord Jesus Christ, and resting upon His merits and being justified by faith alone. This is the reality that we are to have burned upon our hearts by the Spirit and the Word. May Christ be exalted, and may we obey Him as fruits of the faith that He gives to us, a saving faith that's grounded upon the work of Jesus Christ. May God be so pleased to give us strength as parents and to bless our children, the church, and our home in the name of Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Let us pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for the divine responsibilities that You have given to us through Your Word. That the aroma in the home would be one of grace and truth, grounded upon the work of Jesus Christ. And while, Lord, we fail miserably as parents, and our children do as well, help us always be filled with mercy and grace. Give Rachel, Lord, the ability to call sin, sin, righteousness, righteousness, the raising of her children. And may David come one day to the truth of the saving faith of the gospel. Lord, bless them in their journey. It's a long one. And may it lead to the celestial home of our Lord Jesus Christ. For we ask in His name, amen.